Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Dr. Karen Can Radio Show. The intention of this show is to empower and inspire you to manifest the life of your dreams, whether it's radiant health, prosperity, loving relationships, or simply peace of mind. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm your host, Dr. Karen Can, author of the number one bestseller, Guide to Healing Chronic Pain, A Holistic Approach. And you can get the first six chapters of my book as a download free on my website if you haven't already. It's KarenCan.com. Not only that, you get a download of my clearing and protection spray formula. So you can actually make your own clearing spray that helps to clear negative energies, help to balance your chakras, create a positive, high vibrational force field in your home and office, wherever you want to put it. So people have used it for increasing, peace, decreasing arguments in the house, better sleep, all sorts of things, even spraying away monsters and portals that are bad. So please, please use the free gift. And we also have some classes, including my Topocan Healing Level 1, the introduction. You'll have actually PDFs that you can download as to how to do Topocan Healing. Most everyone is already Topocan Healing attuned, but just in case you're not, we have an attunement there as part of your free gift as well. Because I think it's one of my life missions was to be able to empower people to do healing for themselves as easily and quickly as possible without necessarily having huge skill sets of, complex healing modalities, etc. So I'm really excited about that, for you to get that if you don't have it already. Now, today we are actually doing a recording of the interview because our guests are from different parts of the world. And the reason we have our guests today, I'm going to give you a little story, is that our light warriors have been having what other people may call supernatural experiences. And even I myself, even though I am not one to really see, for example, the ghosts or extraterrestrial beings or portals or things like that, my husband actually has some talent that way. So in the past, the pattern has been he'll see something out of the corner of his eye and he'll be like, "What's that? Tell me what that is," And so then I'll test it, and then I'm getting him to feel, what the vibration of it. And so it's kind of fun between the two of us. And I had some experiences where we had some portals, I suppose, if you want to, call it that, where there was some extraterrestrial contact. And at that time, I had some difficulty discerning, why people were there, whether it was okay and whether it was not okay. And I got to the point at some point where I was being woken up several times a night to do all sorts of healing all over the galaxy. And after some lack of sleep over several months, I decided, maybe I need some boundaries. So that's been definitely better, but it's been very interesting because I never thought in a million years, I'm a medical doctor, that I would be asked to help out in other parts of our galaxy or universe and deal with complex problems. But, I'm not one necessarily, unlike one of our guests today, initially, very interested in extraterrestrial contact. So it's just kind of come as part of whatever healing that I'm doing. So I'm really excited today because today we have with us on the interview is the author of Being with the Beings, How and Why of ET Contact, Miguel Mendoza. And we also have Darlene Vandegrift, who I just found out that she is pretty close to me. She's only several hours away, just south of me in New York State. And she is a medical, she is an intuitive, she's a medical intuitive whose gifts and talents and strengths attract clients from all over the world and beyond, which is one of the reasons why she's in Miguel's book. Because some of my light warriors have kind of I'm going to put a judgment word here, a skewed view that all ET contact is either interference or bad. And yes, there are many of us that have been interfered with in a so-called negative way by extraterrestrials interfering with our lives. And in all those cases, entities have been attached or influencing them. But that is not the big picture. So the big picture is that there are so-called good or high vibrational extraterrestrials as well. And what we want to do is understand that there is this balance. There is both. It's not just one or the other. So if you take a look at a picture of what would be, you know, extraterrestrial, someone that looks different from us, what's your immediate gut reaction? Is it fear or is it curiosity? You know, because a 2-year-old child might go, wow, that's kind of neat, you know. But an adult that's seen a lot of alien movies might be like, oh, my God, you know, and get scared. So I'm really, really excited to have Miguel and Darlene here today. And Darlene is able to bring in some of her guests, which are extraterrestrial beings of high light scores, to us to give us a balanced view of what's going on and how is extraterrestrial contact now an almost, you know, an everyday occurrence, and there are all sorts of different parts of the world, how it isn't just this, you know, you see a UFO, you get abducted, you know, the stuff that we see on TV and that we read, and give us a different perspective. And then later on the show, we'll be unmeeting some of our light warrior folks to ask some questions. So welcome, Miguel. Welcome, Darlene. I'm so excited you're here.
Thank you. Good to be with you again.
Yes. Well, Miguel, let's start with you. Now, you have been extremely interested in extraterrestrial contact, and in your book, Being with the Beings, the How and Why BT Contact, you really go through an amazing self-development and being very excited about, you know, ET contact. So give us a few minutes of, like, how did you get into this stuff in the first place?
Well, I would say it's a lifetime's interest, and that comes from a few different places. Some of it comes from always feeling like a visitor to this world. And when I started to hear about, you know, UFOs and ETs, my father gave me a book on the subject when I was 5 years old. And as I read this with all these reports from, you know, astronauts, pilots, police officers, and so forth, you know, it was clear to me that this is a feature of reality, that these things are clearly here. And most things that are manifest have some consciousness attached to them. And I had a sense from probably before I had read that book that I remember one day just feeling this sort of thought process, this sensation, stood in a room. So I must have been, gosh, I could have even been below the age of 3 at the time. And I had this understanding, this knowing, this awareness that what we're seeing is a kind of skin of reality, if you like, that we're just seeing a sort of surface, a superficial aspect of reality. But I could feel this intelligence beyond that superficial level. So I could feel it all around. I could feel it was aware of me. I was aware of it. But I, you know, it's not the sort of thing people discuss. I mean, growing up in a sort of in a society that is still dominated in some aspects culturally by religion, but, you know, is also in the process of becoming hyper materialistic. None of those things are, and then, you know, you have the kind of general power dynamics, the power relations, the mechanisms of wealth, power, and all the influence and manipulation that brings. And in none of that space are there voices in the mainstream that are saying to you that you may be more than flesh and blood, and you may be more than just an entity that lives once and then perishes physically and then goes to heaven, right? So, but there was this lingering feeling that, this is not my truth. This is not my understanding of what this really is. So I spent my whole life trying to understand what this really is, and it's really been a study, I think, of relationships. And being with the beings is a study of relationships. It's a study of not just the relationships between, let's say, the experiencer and the beings, but it's a study of the relationship between the self and the self as the beings. For example, I believe it was Lisa Royal Holt in the first chapter of Being with the Beings. I was telling her about an encounter, two encounters with angelic beings, one of which was a near-death experience. We should have been in a fatal car accident, and instead I sort of pop out of the car into this just nothingness, just whiteness. And then I see ahead of me and in the air, about, I don't know, 20 feet ahead of me, 20 feet in the air-ish, an angel with the wings spread. And then there was just this, I mean, I was incorporeal. I mean, I was just pure consciousness. But that, if that consciousness had a body, its jaw would have been hanging open. I mean, there was just this, wow. Wow, I mean, in capital letters. And then I kind of had the sound rushing backwards, and I was sucked back, dumped back into my body with a kind of shudder, like I'd been dropped from a height. And when I talked to Lisa about these experiences, and then there was another one with a telepathic kind of download that was like the kind of psychic equivalent of a fire hose. I mean, it was intense. And when I talked to Lisa about this, she said she had the sense that those beings were aspects of myself. And I mean, there's a whole thing that would take way too long to unpack about my connection with the angelic realm. But Darlene and others have had connections with beings that have told them that myself and Darlene and myself and two other people, so it's three different situations we're talking about, they have all been visited, had an experience where they've been told that myself and that person are connected in the form that is giving them the news, whatever that being is that's telling them this, they're saying, you also are in this form in whatever realm that is, and you have a connection there. So when you get to that level, it's no longer about, are ETs good or bad? Is abduction a thing? It's a completely different exploration. And since finishing the book, it has just been a very personal process of integration, of taking on all of this information over 2 years. So Meet the Hybrids in 2015, We Are the Disclosure Parts 1 and 2 in 2016, Being with the Beings in 2017. There's 2 years for those four books, nonstop. And now it's just this... I would say deep personal process of integrating all of these ideas and, if you like, road testing it. It's like the book was the kind of bench test, if you like. But in that process, very early on, the thought ran through my head, your own contact is going to step up now. And it just came out of nowhere, and I acknowledged it. I said, yeah, probably. And I moved on. I did not get hung up on it because it wasn't really about me. And yet, as I have shared in the book and as you've alluded to, It does get very personal. It's that law of attraction thing. I think that when you start to open up, I'm sure you've had this experience and talked to many, many people who have, and probably a lot of people listening understand this, that when you open up and you say yes to this, you say, yes, I want to expand myself. I want to understand my own connections. I want to, I don't know, I think this is where language starts to break down,
right, quite frankly.
It's almost like part of you is dissolving into everything else. You'll find your consciousness, instead of being very ego-oriented, is now something that is connecting to all the different aspects of yourself in all these different timelines, time periods, if you like. You start to feel that, you start to experience the concept that there is no such thing as time, that everything is happening simultaneously, and you begin to feel that. And when you do, you start to understand that, I mean, at least my experience is that I just don't live as Miguel Mendoza any longer. I pop in and out of that sort of ego, if you like. I feel when Miguel Mendoza is expressing a certain aspect of himself, but now there is always the other aspect of my consciousness, if you like, almost like the higher self that is more integrated, because I had a whole thing with my higher self through this whole process of the last couple of years. And so there's always that aspect of me that is able to step out of an experience and say, this is Miguel, a human, experiencing X, Y, or Z, reacting in this particular way, having this kind of experience. And there's something about that that is very allowing, because it doesn't mean you have to throw yourself away and say, well, oh, I'm an ET, I'm not this, I'm going to reject my humanity. No, I think it is an opportunity to more fully embrace the role, the experience that you're having, good and bad. And I think that you can recognize something as a bad experience, but you don't have to judge it in that same sense of, oh, terrible things happen to me and I'm cursed, or why would someone do this to me?
Right,
it may well be that is part of the mechanism of your experience as a human being, that you chose it, as a soul you chose. As an ego, when you become, like if you go down this road, if you look at life in this way, there is a freeing up that happens, because it's no longer all about who I am in this moment and everything that is at stake for me. It's not about that anymore. And in the survey that Free did, the Foundation for Research into Extraterrestrial Encounters, they showed that around 70% of people who have contact of various kinds have positive life transformations as a result. 70%. This is one of the most important pieces of information that has ever been discovered in the last 70 years of this field. And I think this is something that we need to understand, embrace, and move forward with.
That's beautiful. Well, and your experience totally reflects some of the one-on-one sessions and the work that I do with people, because I have so many that are what we call sensitive, that have other lives as, you know, extraterrestrial beings or angelic souls, things like that, indigo souls. And even the ones that, you know, may be having trouble with so-called extraterrestrial interference, that they themselves, you know, were of that species previously. you know, or other right. timelines. And so you're right. I think it's all about, you know, I think my job is really is to bring that perspective of inclusion rather than exclusion, you know, the oneness rather than polarity of evil and good or bad and good, that kind of thing. So I think it's lovely that you personally, you know, have experienced it, and it just totally reflects what's been going on in my one-on-one sessions. So that is so very, very cool. I'd like to have Darlene share some things with us now. Now, Darlene, I loved reading the chapter in Miguel's book, Being with the Beings, because you talked about helping extraterrestrials with or the other beings with their timelines and doing healing on their behalf and working with some high vibrational extraterrestrial beings as well. So I'd love to hear your experience and, you know, what's going on in your sessions these days.
So I think this started, well, it started when I was much younger listening to Miguel. My dad used to tell me my bedtime stories were about his experience with ETs, but it never really stuck. You know, it was, you know, when you're 4 or 5, it's like, oh yeah, okay. You know, and it was never discussed in our family either. My mother and I had a business partnership together, and she had a near-death, well, actually she did die. She ended up heading towards the morgue when she was 11. So she was a walk-in, and that was very clear in this lifetime. So there was some connection there in relation to what was going on in the family. And when I was in my 30s, she had gone through a regression, and I heard about them, but it was recorded, and they said to me, the therapist, and she wanted me to listen to it in private. And when I did that, there was a voice that rose up inside me, because she had an experience with ETs that were probing her. And in the screams and the trauma that she was going through, this voice came up and it said, "We did not do that." You know, it was just repeated over and over again. "We did not do that." And it was disconcerting for me. I didn't understand it. But what started from there is bringing in and channeling an ET that was called Ellie Wazar. And he needed to complete some timelines with a group of people that I actually were friends with at the time. And so that transition of him coming in and doing the completion work and whatever, and it was a channeling for me. It was the first time I let something, another being, you know, take not control or ownership, but just come through. I was always in the distance watching it, but I didn't like it. And so when he left in about 4 years, the contract that I had with my mother that was basically unspoken was that I would not surpass her in this lifetime. And I knew that. And it was always holding back in some way, you know, just waiting, because my mother was always in the process of dying one way or another. And when she finally passed, this was 4 years ago, the moment that she took her last breath, it was so incredible for me to, I was like transformed into this place of watching all the protection and the boundaries that she had around me just crumble and blow away. And I was shaken by that. I was so vulnerable and exposed, but yet so free. And I didn't know what to do with it. I didn't know who I was. And shortly after that, I was in a meditative process, and it was probably within like a week to 10 days. And there were four beings that showed up. And in the end of what they had told me, which was about my mother's life and why she was here, which had a lot to do with cosmic information. But when they left, they called me Horace. And I was like, "Horace? I'm not Horace." I looked it up online, and it was about pulling all your pieces together.
Oh.
And my earliest memory is having a loss of a twin in utero, and I've always been looking for my pieces, you know?
Yeah.
So it made sense to me. It made sense to me that, wow, okay, so this, you know, I'll go along with this, but it was never identified as an integration process. And it lasted, it's been 4 years, and it just finished the anniversary of her death, which was March 27th of this year. And through that, through these last 4 years, I've been introduced to many ETs and dimensional beings, working with them for months and months. You know, I relate to what you were saying, Karen, about working on things that you just stay awake at night. You're in that twilight place, and you're being asked to do this and that. And they taught me how to fly, which took about a year because I was scared to death of being in height. So they worked with me that way, and they they took me to places to see what my fear levels were, how I was going to take direction, could I really understand what they were saying, and what they wanted from me at the time. And eventually it moved into me being a mediator with them in understanding their timelines and really seeing that, you know, they have history, they have feelings, they have, you know, they have relationships, you know, they have regrets. There's a lot of similarities that we have other than they don't look like us. And in that process, it brought me to a deeper heartfelt place with all those that I've met. And then they had me working for a bit of time with defectors. And these were mostly reptilian, and coming in because they wanted to leave the reptilian clan and what it represented, and they wanted to come over into more of what a benevolent type of ETs. And so I was to sit down with them and kind of interview them in relation to their history and get their storyline. I think it was for me, one, to feel comfortable on how I would I reject them, you know, would I push them away, would I judge them, and what I found with each one of them is that they have a heart, you know. It's like we can judge, just like we judge other people that are not like us, we judge some of these ETs and dimensional beings because they have a reputation, and I don't believe that's true. At least that wasn't my findings. So in the outcome of all this, they started, like when they would show up, there'd be one at a time, or maybe there'd be three or four. There might be more than that. And normally they would communicate me with one-to-one, you know, and that most of the time it was telepathically. But as this started to move forward and become the end of the 4 years, they started to show up as three and four, but speaking as one. And I always thought, well, that's unusual, but I never really realized that it was the integration process that was happening, that they were becoming more and more and more of one mind. And their final outcome was bringing in a blue crystalline being, which really started probably 6 months before, with me being shown a blue crystal, and it contained the similar to the Akashic records, but they were bringing it into this field. They were bringing all that information into the 3D field, and as that progressed, that evolution of that crystal became more of a being, and we have and it's the holder of all those that I have been working with for the 4 years. So they have really joined in this one mind piece. Now their intention in working is, and it's a belief system that I share with them, is that our DNA can be transformed. We are not stuck with what we think that we are stuck with or have been told. And so they're working with me on a regular basis, and because I can feel the shifts that I've had with this integration, and it's physical. I used to have to go in the 4 years. I needed to go to the chiropractor like every week just to hold my back together because there was so much energy coming. But since the integration, I haven't gone in 2 months.
Hmm.
And my heart space feels like the first month things quieted because this process has been very intense. And after that last integration, my heart space has opened and I felt like I was seeing from my heart space for that first month. And very expanded, like I felt very much bigger than I am. And so in that process of the integration, what they want, and it's a co-creative process, is they believe that the DNA can shift as well. And so as Miguel was saying, opening up to the possibility of these aspects is what they're working towards. So that through, my understanding is right now, through sound and through other processes, when they're present, they can bring in, they open up the opportunity for each person to go and reach out for an aspect and then bring that in. So I haven't tried that with anyone other than some clients, but I haven't done it in a group. So it feels like that's where that might be heading. And I'm still in this, I'm much better integrated than I was back in the beginning of April, when this started. But I noticed that now in the last 2 to 3 weeks, each one of them or several of them will step up while I'm working with a client because they can take me into each one of these beings that I'm working with, have a different aspect that through the law of attraction, I've brought them in because they're an aspect that of myself that I've either forgotten or denied or, you know, it needs to be worked on and expanded. So each one of them has a different perspective in some way. So when a client is working with me, sometimes they will show up, at least I have in the last couple of weeks, as a more of a presence of this is where this needs to go now or here's a timeline that needs to be addressed. You know, so that it's either cleared, identified, integrated with the person. So I know that they're working with me with individuals, but it feels like what their intention is they believe that this can happen more in a group setting. I'm just not quite sure how that will look.
Mm, yeah, that is really fascinating. And and it's interesting because from, you know, various different interviews with folks and just working with folks too, we have something I call it a soul merger. I'm not sure if it's the same as bringing in aspects in, but that's been a very rapid change in the last 4 months, I would say, is that people getting other aspects of themselves merged with them. Mm-hmm. And most of the time, it's a higher vibrational version of themselves from another timeline that merges with them to help out, to support, you know, the ascension. One thing you said that was really interesting, Darlene, I wanted to ask you about, well, two things. One is that you mentioned about having to go to the chiropractor. We have many of our sensitives. This past week has actually been challenging for us. When I spoke to Source about it, at least human understanding was that there was some sort of planetary convergence of some sort. And what I was feeling was a lot of intense pressure in my neck and my head. And that doesn't happen that often. In the past, it used to be when Mother Earth was going through things, and Mother Earth and I are very close. So I would kind of feel her stuff. But there are many of us sensitives that are going through this past week. So I'm just curious, like in this process of this integration that you're experiencing and working with, you know, the beings or the other aspects of yourself as beings, is there like physical things that tend to happen when we do that? Physical symptoms?
Yes, because when this started for me, it was more like we are here to help you to bring your vibrational level up, to bring your frequency level up. And so, you know, for like a year, there was no coffee, there was no meat, you know, so there was a diet that helped that. And then that moved to another level. And I know that there was one night that I was sitting down at dinner and I was eating chicken and Blue Avian, who's one of the closest ones that I'm with, came in and said, "We do not eat our own flesh." And that was that. I was like, okay. So I haven't touched fowl since. But it yes, you get in there in your expansion process. There's things that need to change, to move, to let go of. That's not just on the emotional level or the timeline level. That's also what needs to change cellularly. So yeah, they want access. So you know, the pressure that I think people are feeling is, you know, it's time. They're like knocking on the door really hard that, you know, we want access. Take a look at who you are. It's not who we are. It's who you are. And so, you know, let us in. You know, see us for who we are, how we can help you this way. Because they can't interfere with what we are going through on this planet. They can't step in and save us. That is not what they're about. But they can help us to become more of them, to become more whole in who we are and our capabilities and our aspects. They can help that. And in doing so, there's more potential for the planet to shift.
I think there's so many of my folks that have had negative experiences with entities that they're just scared. You know, they're scared that they don't feel good because they're getting implanted or you know, something bad is happening. So they're very scared of, I don't want contact. What are you talking about? You know? So what advice do you have for those folks that have that sense of, I don't have the ability to discern, you know, who is and who isn't for my highest good?
Yeah, that is an issue, and I think it's become more of an issue because it's an escape route. When you bring in something that's even an aspect of yours that is, you know, more benevolent, not bringing in something that's negative, because my experience with them is they don't allow that. You know, they don't allow, if you're going to use their protocol or their methodology, it's not about attaching to something that's negative of yours to bring in. That's their discernment. So when that happens and when you're more open and you're more vulnerable, there is possibility for entities and other things to just kind of go, you know, even remote viewers, whoa, okay, here we are, we got access point. And so my advice to that, because I have experienced it, and you need to have a support system around you if this is something that you're really embracing in relation to maybe a shaman, you know, that can see that kind of energy and help it to leave. Because it's not about them good or bad. It's that they don't need to be there. And so, you know, having a support system around you, whether that's chiropractor for that or a nutritionist or, you know, acupuncturist, you know, those people that can support whatever your system is required in doing. And if there's fear-based, that's the thing that I'm finding out. There's fear-based in connecting to an entity or something that doesn't belong to you, you're going to connect to it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you're going to, that field is then open.
Right.
That. So the law of attraction is right there. It's like, okay, whatever you're afraid of, then you will attract some portion of that. I don't believe you're stuck with it, but I think that there's people around that can help to alleviate that, and especially if you've connected to aspects of yourself that are on the higher plane or that they have a better overview. If you're really connected to them, they can help as well. So it is a concern in some way, but I don't think that it should stop people.
Well, that's beautiful. Thank you. Well, and I think maybe that's part of my mission or job, because I'm very comfortable working with and healing entities. I'm always sharing with my students, we're loving them into the light. It's not about fear. And because,
right.
You know, at some point we might have been them, you know, so, hey, so we're all evolving. We're all on this journey. And yeah, we have to have healthy boundaries for sure. But at the same time, the fear and the hate doesn't have to be there. And we're healing all of that. So that's beautiful. Thank you. Now, Darlene, I know that you mentioned earlier that your website isn't currently working, but I do want to give that to people. People can bookmark it in case you want to work with Darlene. The website is soulunion.com, so OulUnion.com, all one word. And Darlene said it was okay to give out her cell phone. That just don't inundate her, okay, guys? But her cell phone here, because her website's not working right now. But the cell phone number, if you have a pen and paper, it's 917-763-9677. Again, it's 917-763-9677. And so you can work with Darlene if you'd like. Now, Miguel has many, many best-selling books, including the ones he mentioned. There's Meet the Hybrids, and we talked to him and Barbara before about that book. Of course, this book, Being with the Beings, The How and Why of ET Contact, and then The We Are Disclosure, Part 1, 700 Years of Research on ET Human Interaction. And you can get these on Amazon. And Miguel, maybe you can give us the URL for if people want to connect with you and your community, as well as where else the book is being sold, that they can get a hold of the book.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they can just connect with me via wearethedisclosure.com. There is a contact form in there. There are, as I said previously, there's links to all of the books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and a lot of different sites in Europe and Australia. So it's pretty much available everywhere.
Okay, fantastic. Great. We're going to go to some questions now. So I'm going to go to Q&A mode, and I know when that happens, I'll have to unmute you again, Miguel and Darlene. So hang on just a second. Let me go there. I have a question. Dial star 6 or the Q&A button. So in that way, we can know who has questions. So we have lots of folks on the call, and I think this has been really wonderful to have both of you here to give us a different perspective, because the theme has been, over the last few years doing these energy healing sessions, has been about oneness, and lately I've been talking about the convergence of our timelines, our permission being granted to heal multiple of our timelines, which seemed very strange to me at the beginning. But I'm like, well, I'm going to go with it because that's the message I keep feeling. And even one of my timelines being Lemurian, who maybe Darlene can give me feedback on this, but another healer, when I mentioned, you know, my Lemurian past and having been a master healer in that timeline, and to share the ability to do Topokan healing, which is named in this timeline, mind you, he immediately said, well, that's reptilian, as if it was bad, you know, like a judgment. Sure. So just curious, you know, we have one caller here, but just curious real quick if you had any feedback about that.
In relation to the reptilian piece.
Right. Like the Lemurians being reptilian. I mean, I'm sure there's many different kinds of Lemurian cultures.
Yes, they were a conglomeration of different cultures. And like I said, you know, it's like, yes, reptilian has a bad rap, you know,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't necessarily mean that all of them are like that.
Right, that was my sense.
Yeah, so, you know, I wouldn't pay much attention. There's a piece of judgment that's put in there, and it just supports what we don't know.
Right. Thank you for that. Okay, so we have here area code, looks like 920. Hang on, let me just unmute you. Hello, who's this?
Hi, Karen. Hi, Darlene and Miguel.
Hi there.
Hi, I got a question. I've been having different things happen through the years, sometimes waking up at night and having my head being held. And mind you, my headboard is towards the wall, so, and then all of a sudden I'm put to sleep. And sometimes, well, a couple times I woke up and I had needle marks in my left arm. The biggest thing that happened lately was on July 2nd. I live in Wisconsin, and it's toward the lake, east. And there were these orange squares, about seven of them, starting at the tree line. I'm about a mile off the lake, and then consecutively up to like 1 o'clock in the sky, and they're perfectly spaced, not moving. I thought it was fireworks or something, but it wasn't. Not moving, no smell, no sound. And I was just wondering if you could comment on that, if what's happening is, I know you said, you know, there's good and bad ones, and, you know, the thing with this time that I've been driving, and then I'm on one side of the city, and then on the other, then I don't even have any recollection of driving through a city, then all of a sudden I'm back in my body and coming home, but don't have, I just don't have the memory of what has happened. And I was wondering if you could comment on any of that.
Miguel, do you have anything, or do you?
Well, there is something that I want to put out there, which left a big impression on me and really helped me in my experience and my journey. Talking with Vashta Narada and Rob Gothier, and Ardif, the being that Rob channels in the book, both of them made the point that I talked to everybody about safeguards. How can you have safety in contact? And everybody comments on this. They have their own protocols, their own approaches, and there are many of them. They're easy to find in the book. But I want to read something that Vashta said. I think this is really important. She said, "As for me, I don't use any protection techniques because safety for me is a given. That is because I've done enough self-work throughout my whole life to know that I literally cannot be harmed unless I agree to it. So any sort of communication or experience that I have, whether it be with something they call benevolent or malevolent, is completely under my control because I know I cannot be harmed. And that knowing has to come from within. It cannot be an automatic affirmation you tell yourself in the mirror. It has to be embodied. And once you embody that, not only will a contact gain a whole different dimension, everything in your life will. It's literally a safeguard against any possible negative experience that you might have. And it's going to keep your vibration high enough, even higher than the beings you're communicating with. As the entities Rob channels always say, your higher self is of a higher density than any of these beings that you communicate with. So, if you're connected to the higher self, they literally cannot touch you. And the negative experience will not be negative. It will be learning. It will be interesting. It will be exciting. It might be a little bit fearful, but it won't be dangerous. If you're coming from that perspective of embodying your higher levels and your higher self, there are many different techniques, such as encasing yourself in golden light and asking your guides to protect you in whatever you're experiencing. But that was never appealing to me, because for me, if I'm asking for protection, I'm inviting an attack. It's a simple vibratory response. So it's about knowing that you are safe, and only you can provide that for yourself.
And I've never been afraid of what, I don't think I have been. I've been curious. I've just been curious as to what or who, or especially like these lights or these craft or whatever they are, that are, they're still there. They're faded now, but they are still there over the lake and up into the sky. I don't know if that's something positive. Is that something to help mankind? I talked to one person and she thought that, you know, that's what that was. I'm not afraid of them. I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm. I think for, what's your first name again?
Patty.
Patty?
Yeah.
Patty. I think, Patty, aside from, you know, what Miguel's talking about, which I believe is true, and bringing your energy, you know, like even if you're having these experiences even in the nighttime, is bringing your energy so that it fills more of the space outside you, which is a form of protection in some way. So, you know, you can do some breath to just kind of expand yourself so that it's out in your field. And in doing that, I see that there's something about you opening your heart in relation to sitting there, and it might need to happen, because what they're looking for is they're looking for commitment. You know, it's not just a, oh yeah, I like to, you know, there's a flyby ship there and hi guys, and you know, there's not a there's not a real connection. So if you want to establish who is trying to connect with you, it's go into a meditative state, go into a visual state, open-hearted, and just spend 5-10 minutes of saying, I am here. You know, I am here, and if you have anything for me, show me. It might come in auditory, it might come in visual, you know, it might come in kinesthetic. It's just opening that possibility is the first step of who are you, and, you know, I'm here to have some kind of connection, communication. But it's the consistency of you wanting that. And it's a good thing that you're not in fear level because you don't have to go back and try to clear whatever that was about, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Well, you know, Patty, I was just going to mention that, you know, what we teach in the class is, you know, once you feel like your connection is good, you know, doing your divine muscle testing, just check the light score of each of these particular instances and what's going on. Now, what I'm getting is that, you know, the light score of the squares is 95. So, and then as what was going on at night is about a 50, and that they're not connected with each other, at least not the same.
Well, the thing of it is too, Karen, the thing that I talked about before happened years ago, and now with working with you with the last, since last October when you had your first light warrior thing, I think my vibration thing has come up so much more that can't. You know, and like when I saw those, it's like, oh, cool. What is that? Is that, you know, I wasn't scared. I was just, oh, cool. You know, but I just was on, well, you know, to say it's 95%, that's great.
Well, there are other timelines. Like Darlene does a lot of work with timelines. What we've discovered in the last few months is that because of this convergence, people are able to experience things in other timelines, even physically, which I know can seem kind of like daunting. But I'm also getting that this is an alternate timeline that is healing. So you may want to, you know, just go into meditation or stillness and see what's there to heal for that timeline.
Cool. Thank you, guys. I'm going to get those books.
They're great. They're great. Yeah, thank you so much. Okay, I'm going to leave you now.
Thank you, Karen. Thank you, guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Patty.
Cheers.
Okay, so we have another person who's anonymous. Hello, hello. You're on the show. Who's this? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Okay, you kind of sound like you're in an echo.
Okay,
there we go.
Karen. This is Sadia from Toronto.
Hi, Sadia.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call, and thank you for this wonderful, wonderful, and very interesting show. And thank you to the host. It's been very, very insightful. I would like to ask, my question is, I dreamt about the aliens a while back. I dreamt about the aliens taking me into their spaceship, and they took me into their spaceship, and after that I don't recall, and I want to know how is it affecting my life, because in day-to-day life, is it negatively or positively? And what can I do about it?
Well, what is your feeling about it, Sadia? I mean, when did this start?
This started a few months ago. Yeah.
And did you have any interest in the subject before?
Yes, I've always had this interest of something much more outer. Yeah, I've always, I don't know why. Yes, I've never been. I've never been scared of them as usually people would be. And I would be told by my friends I'm a little off because of that. But a few months ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I grew up in school.
Was there what was your feeling afterwards? I mean, let's say the first couple of 3 days after. After it first happened, what was going on with you? How did you feel about it? Where were you at sort of emotionally?
I had a very hard sinking, like a very gut sinking feeling. after I woke up, and I was like, what on earth was that? And I was like, what do they want from me? What do I have that they need? Or what is it? Like, what agenda do they have? Or is it, am I needed by for a mission? Or I did not have a very good feeling, I remember. And, like, my health has been down for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I have been feeling very lost after that. After that dream, I've been feeling like time is passing by. There's so many things I have to do and get done, and I'm just like lost in La La Land kind of a feeling. I'm not understanding what's happening. And
have you thought about doing a regression? I mean, I worked with Barbara Lau a lot. I interviewed her in the last book and Mary Rodwell, and I've been regressed a number of times myself to contact experiences, and I have found it insightful and useful, but it's not really, I would say it's not really changed who I am. It's helped me to understand who I am, I would say.
Okay.
It's a big difference. And I've worked with, I'll be candid about this. I've been working with Darlene for at least 6 months, going through the kind of process that she takes people through, which is, it's called Soul Union for a reason. It's about helping you to kind of look at all of the pieces of your life and connect them without her ever sitting there and driving the process, driving the sort of that unraveling, if you like. It feels very organic and very personal. And as a result of that, I have felt that the contact experience has a context, and I've understood much more about who and what I am as a result. And I think that this is a huge journey, and there isn't one quick, simple answer to any of it, as you will have heard in this conversation, and many others like it, I'm sure. All of us are learning every day as we go through this. And when we have discussions like this that Karen is facilitating and people like her around the world, we're all learning as we go. But I think that in terms of getting deeper into your experiences, and I can only speak to this a little bit based on mine, it sounds like it's not having a strong negative effect. You don't sound like you're in a bad place with it. It sounds like you have a healthy, open, inquiring attitude towards it. And as we've been discussing, when I think you are in that open place, I think the information will come to you. And there are various ways. Darlene talked about meditation. I've talked about regression. In other words, there are ways that you can access the information via non-ordinary states of consciousness. It's very easy to connect you to Mary or Barbara, or, you know, there are other ways that we could find somebody closer to you who could do regression if you wanted to go that way. But in general, I think in being with the beings, and all my books, this is what we're unpacking. We're unpacking, what is this? What does this mean for me? And I'll make one final point. I'll make one final point here. I've asked everybody I've interviewed, that's 37 people over four books, and dozens of other people that I've become friendly with in the field over time, have you felt a sense of guidance in doing this work? Everybody has said yes, even if that guidance takes very different forms. But everybody can feel that there are events in their life, there are opportunities, there is information that is all lining up. And when you talked about, is this a mission? I feel everybody has come here for a mission. And it may be that what this is doing is showing to you, yes, this is a feature of reality. You've always had an interest, but now it is coming to you. Now this is your time. So as you become open to it, as you become ready, there are many, many people who can, like Darlene, like Karen, like Mary or Barbara, or many of the other people I've worked with, who can help you to take the next step and help you to understand what are the tools that you can use every day to move forward in your journey.
I want to say one thing. Lost, thank you. You know, you mentioned the word lost. Lost is really an opening for clarity. So I agree with, because something's shifting. So you made contact in whatever way that was, because something's shifting. Don't view it as good or bad, just something's shifting.
So I
agree with Miguel to go see somebody with regression that could give you more clarity. Because once you get some clarity, you'll get the next step.
Absolutely. I think you're right. And Miguel, thank you so much. I am so glad I'm speaking to you.
Thank you.
I don't need to get up this early morning.
Okay. Well, I'm going to thank you, Sadia, so much. We're running out
thank
of time,
so,
so
much,
I'm going to meet you
thank
now.
You,
but, yeah.
Pleasure.
Yes.
Yeah. That was beautiful. Perfect questions today, I think. I just want to share with everyone to close out the websites. So to connect with Miguel and his group, it's wearethedisclosure, all one word, .com. And then you can get his books on the, you know, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, etc., all the different books. You can just put his name in and you can see all of the books at once. And then Darlene's phone number, I'm going to say it again because I know some folks didn't have a pen at the time, is 917-763-9677. Again, it's 917.
You can also get me through email, Karen.
Oh, yes. Why don't we give your email, too?
Okay. So it's my full name, Darlene. VANDE, G as in George, RI, F as in Frank, T as in Tom, at gmail.com.
Okay, fantastic. All right, so Darlene Vandegrift at gmail.com. Fantastic. So I want to, again, thank you both for your time and the work that you're doing in this area, bringing more love and peace into the world. It's just so lovely to, you know, be with you, to work with you, to you know, hear these wonderful messages. So thank you both, and thanks everyone
thank
that was
you,
able
Karen.
To come on the call today.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.